Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back. Second hour of the show. I mentioned right before the end of the hour, just something light. And guys, if you were listening, ladies too, if you care to find out about this, but there was an update on the guy who is well endowed that is popping up in all kinds of memes that men mainly, I think, are sending to one another. But there's an update on that. And I found out the backstory, and the family actually could use a little help with the money from what people are, you know, profiting from that. Anyway, I'll give you those details before we get to Dave Simons. And the bottom half of this hour, coming up a little bit later, obviously, we have Total Information PM. We don't know. In fact, I have not heard, unless the folks in the studio have heard differently, that the task force is having an update this afternoon. We'll certainly keep you posted on that. We're going to go to London, and I think London is a big concern right now. CBS News correspondent Vicky Barker is there. Hi, Vicky. How are you?
Well, Mark, I'm self-isolating. That's how I am. Walked into the CBS London Bureau earlier this week, only to be told that the Bureau was being closed for deep cleaning because a couple of guys, IT guys, had come around the previous Friday. Both were showing symptoms, and I was on the list of people they'd had some kind of contact with. So I have been home self-isolating ever since.
Well, I said something on the air yesterday, and I really, really hope I'm wrong. But, you know, I'm looking at the numbers, and we're all kind of looking at the maps, and I've seen that, you know, England might be behind the curve just a little bit. I'm really worried about London, and I'm guessing that a lot of people there are as well.
Yes, I think that's quite fair, because we've known for at least a week that London is the epicenter, that new cases are rising fastest here in the British capital. And we are already hearing from doctors who are having to make life or death decisions as to which critically ill patient gets that ventilator. Also heard from, you know, one hospital doctor today who said, you know, she's trying to heal people, but the fact of the matter is she's got to wear the same blues, as they're called, all day long. So she's got different patients breathing on her and touching her all day long. Then she's releasing a whole bunch of them back home because they, you know, can't be treated in the hospital, where, of course, there's a really good chance they're then going to go on to cross-infect everybody they come into contact with. So it's there are all sorts of, you know, pretty horrific ironies and very, very tough choices that are involved in this strange new world we are all living in.
Vicky, is there a sense that the officials and Boris Johnson moved too slowly?
I think there's always sense in absolutely every single society that has encountered the coronavirus. I mean, in the case of Britain, Boris Johnson at first seemed to be having a kind of laissez-faire attitude about all of this. He seemed to be prepared to allow about 60% of the population to become infected on the reasoning that the majority of people who get this, some don't even know they've had it, some just experience cold-like symptoms. But then some, you know, academic researchers did some more modeling and said this idea of herd immunity, it's called, the idea that if you let enough people in the population get infected, It creates herd immunity because they become immune, and also it's more likely to encourage the virus to mutate into something less lethal than it is now. But these academic researchers did some modeling and said, well, you know, on your idea, something like 130,000 people would die, will die. So then they've changed it, and they've started ramping up the response. But, yes, it has been too late. But then who does have a million and a half respirators in their back pocket?
Right, right. I mean, the reality of the situation is, yeah, absolutely. So we did get some news, and I'm interested in the reaction today in London to Buckingham Palace announcing that Prince Charles has tested positive.
Yes, he tested positive. And in fact, the last time he saw his mother, the 93-year-old Queen of England, was March 12th. She is not believed to be in any danger, but the doctors are saying it's possible that he was infected as soon as the day after that. Palace officials say that Prince Charles is only experiencing mild symptoms. He is self-isolating at the royal retreat in Balmoral, Scotland, with his wife, Camilla, who has so far tested negative for coronavirus. And I can only hope that Charles and Camilla are practicing the kind of distancing techniques I've had to practice with my husband these last few days, because otherwise she's in real danger of getting infected too.
And the Queen, Vicky, she's 93 years old, isn't she?
She's 93, and her husband, Prince Philip, is going to be 99 pretty soon. The pair of them have been self-isolating at Windsor Castle out in the countryside for about a week now. And what we've been told is that they are both in good health, you know, considering their ages, and that they are safe and well.
CBS News correspondent Vicky Barker with us. You know, there's still a sentiment. I think it's certainly lower than it was a week ago and absolutely lower than 2 weeks ago. But amongst a lot of Americans, that this is going too far. I mean, there's concern about the economy. How does that parallel, in your opinion, just from, and I know you haven't been out to talk to people on a regular basis, but the sense that you're getting in England on these lockdowns and shutdowns and restrictions?
I haven't heard a word from anyone, and I'm talking about people. I like to say that I need to outlive all my friends because it's the only way to avoid fistfights at my funeral. I mean, I know people across the political and ideological and social spectrum, and no one here has said, oh, this is going too far, it's going to hurt the economy, because everybody's involved, everybody's interlinked, and I think the belief here seems to be that, you know, no human life is worth it. And frankly, what's an economy for? If everybody isolates now, yes, it's had a horrific, I mean, the British economy has basically come to a standstill, as has much of the U.S., as have many economies around the world. But I think the idea is that if you have the really sharp medicine, the strong medicine, as early as possible, then we will be out from under this before irreparable damage is done. But, I mean, just imagine if this thing, you know, if insufficient precautions are taken and hundreds of thousands, millions of Americans die. I mean, you're not going to be going to work if you're going to your grandmother's funeral, and then the next day it's your grandfather's funeral, and the day after that it's your boss's funeral. So I think that's the reasoning here. It's a combination of, I don't know, an ethical belief that human life, the value and sanctity of human life comes first, but also pragmatic idea that it's best to take tough measures now in the hopes that we can get through this that little bit faster.
So is there a timeline that's, you know, this got a little bit of attention yesterday when the president started talking about Easter, which I think most people think is overly ambitious. Is there any kind of timeline being offered by leaders in England?
I don't think there are any reputable epidemiologists or experts on the planet who would agree with what President Trump seemed to say. But, you know, President Trump has his own kind of colorful way of stating things. You know, if the U.S. is, you know, cracks down hard and fast and people stay home, then Is it possible things will reach their peak by Easter? Well, I guess we'll have to see. I'm not a professional epidemiologist. I mean, there are, I have seen one study out of Oxford University just in the last day or so that's positing, for instance, here in the UK, that it's possible because so few people are being tested, like the United States, there just aren't that many tests around.
Right,
so we don't
right.
know. We don't really know how prevalent this already is. And this one epidemiologist come up with her own modeling and thinks there's a really good chance that most of the British population has already been exposed and already been infected. And if that is the case, it doesn't mean that a whole lot of people aren't going to die, but it does mean that that's going to peak sooner than later. So that with the idea that things might have peaked in the UK, you know, more within a month or so rather than the 6 months to 2 years that some of the other models are suggesting.
So many of these things are just devastating and disappointing and sad. And, you know, just one thing from those of us in St. Louis, because it's not looking very likely right now. Our St. Louis Cardinals were supposed to play in London in June against the Cubs. And I know a lot of folks wanted to travel overseas for that. Maybe we'll have to put that off by a few months or maybe even a year. What are you doing, Vicky, to stem the boredom when you're inside? Are you binging anything?
My husband and I have been binge watching in separate rooms, I'm afraid to say, ever since I was kicked out of the CBS bureau. I mean, we can't even play Scrabble because, of course, you know, you're sticking your hands into that same sack and touching tiles that the other person's touched. I'm hoping once I'm no longer self-isolating, I'll be able to do that. But yeah, it's a shame because, you know, we're a really close neighborhood here in West London. And normally, you know, you'd be popping in and out of your neighbors all the time. And that's not happening either. People are just, you know, reverting to an earlier standard of life, you know, no more theater, no more movie theaters. You're only allowed out to exercise in a park once a day right now. But people adapt.
Well, we're going through that here, too. CBS News correspondent Vicky Barker in London. Stay safe over there. Good luck with everything. Hopefully you and your husband will get back together in the same room soon.
I hope so, too. Thank you
Take
very
care.
Much.
Thanks, Vicky. She sort of threw me off there with the comment about, you know, going to a park one day. And one of the concerns that I have, look, and I understand how important this is to keep people isolated, but it doesn't seem to me. We had video, my producer actually shared this with me yesterday. I think I mentioned it on the air. Maybe I didn't, of some helicopters down in South America that were shooing people off the beaches by kicking up the sand. And boy, if we get to that in Missouri, one of the things I like about where we live is we have wide open spaces and we're not on top of one another. And I think we should be at parks and riding bikes and things like that. If we can't do that, we're all going to go crazy. Hey, the stock market was up today. There's some breaking news. The Dow closing at 21,200, up 2.5%. We'll get details from Dave Simons and ask him about the stimulus plan because, look, it's reacting to what Washington is doing right now. Dave Simons, host of Dollars and Cents, next on KMOX.
Mark Reardon now.
No, never.
Yes, always.
Total Information PM at 4 on KMOX.
Well, from London to New York City, Peter Haskell, WCBS, one of our sister stations, going to talk from the Big Apple in the next half hour. Dave Simons is going to kill me because before I welcome him in, I think I've done this to him before with strange, unusual topics beforehand. But, Dave, you can ignore this if you'd like. So I talked about this before the end of the hour. There is a well-endowed African-American man that has popped up during the coronavirus crisis as a prank text. Guys know what I'm talking about. If you don't, you better get out from under the rock because men are sophomoric and we text each other these stupid pictures of this guy. This has actually been around for years, but now it's taken off and it's like on steroids. So TMZ did some digging and they found out that the picture of this guy, and again, for those of you who don't know, I suppose you can Google it, but be careful, don't do it at work. No one's at work, so that's not a problem. It was a picture that was taken by a guy named Walter Smith from Pantheon Productions for a porn site. And he says he took it around 2009, and he says the subject went by the name Wood. Go figure. Seems appropriate. But Walter said that's not the guy's name, and he died in 2016. But you have Barstool Sports and other sites selling merchandise with his face, so The guy from the site says, look, I don't mind that they do this, but it would be pretty cool if they would take some of the profits and give them to his family. He's not giving the guy's real name out. Anyway, I thought I'd give the background on that. I apologize, Dave Simons. You know, what am I going to do? There's a lot of news breaking, and that was part of it.
You know, could I have the last 2 minutes of my life back, please, since I...
I got to keep it a little light. Let's talk about the stock market. I'm going to pivot for you right now. Dave Simons, certified financial planner, senior VP of investments, UBS Financial Services. We had a couple of good days on Wall Street. Obviously, Dave, responding to them finally getting their act together in Washington, at least apparently.
Well, apparently is right. This is just starting to come down because the market really started to sell off right at the end. I mean, we were up a huge day again, up 1,300 points in the Dow. And it still finished up nearly 500, which we would take first back-to-back up day since early February. However, we did give back 800 points, and the reports coming out now is our friend Bernie Sanders has now raised some last-minute objections, and this bill still has not passed.
Yeah, I had Senator Blunt on in the last hour. He felt confident that it would. And, you know, I think that they're going to, in the end, Dave, we're going to look back at this period and there's going to be a lot of things that the microscope will have to take a look at that maybe we didn't have the time to do. Do you have concerns about what's in here right now? What's your general reaction to the details?
Well, I think both sides, you know, you just throw a bunch of spaghetti to the wall and see what sticks, and that's how you negotiate politically. And so the Democrats clearly had some things that were not sustainable, and apparently they've pulled those. And the Republicans, I think it was not right to say, we're just going to give $500 billion to corporations and not have any oversight. Well, that's not going to happen.
Right, right.
So the Democrats finally got that. And so it's, you know, the infamous line that Nancy Pelosi gave us back when they were negotiating Obamacare, where she said, we have to pass the bill first before we know what's in it. That's kind of what's happening here. There are some provisions that I've heard about and that people are speculating about, but until this thing is actually passed, we're not sure what's in there. I'd be very curious to know what kind of help we're going to get from some of our older retirees, too, in the terms of like required minimum distributions and things like that.
I mean, the oversight of this just has to make your brain hurt because, you know, even though there's going to be an inspector general and they're going to try to have as much oversight as possible with the distribution and implementation of all this, can you even imagine a situation where in a year from now, 2 years from now, there's not all kinds of corruption and things that happen as a result of this because we just can't keep an eye on everything?
Mark, you're exactly right. I guess that's my biggest fear longer term. Look, I understand that you do have to kind of throw in everything plus the kitchen sink, but what are the unintended consequences that we cannot envision right now? And what are some of the committees that will come out of this that will be permanent that we wish we could take back? We don't know that yet, but that's my biggest fear is that we've kind of jumped down this rabbit hole in, to some degree. And I get it. I get it. We needed a really big, bold package, and people had to compromise just to get this out to help everybody. But I think there will be some unintended consequences that will be written about years from now, yes.
You know, and I'm not going to argue that you have these income cutoffs, which I think are appropriate because certainly the people on the lower end of the scale, they need the work. These are people that are working paycheck to paycheck. The gig economy is addressed here, which is good. I have a lot of friends who are musicians, you know, bartenders, things along those lines. But you do have the issue, and I don't know how we react to this, to the still employed. And the still employed are still going to be taking a lot less money and for the most part, not everybody, but, you know, Dave, there are people that work on commissions, for example. There are people that get bonuses, all of these things. Again, not trying to focus on those people, but this is still going to have an effect on the economy. I've even seen some economists say, look, you don't want to stimulate too much now because we're in a period where that's not necessarily going to be good, but you want to make sure that people are able to pay their bills.
Yeah, and this arbitrary number of $75,000 in income, that, again, it's a very difficult thing to come up with, but is that perfect? No. Somebody might have made $77,000
right
last year, but because of what's happening now, they're going to make $15,000, and they're not going to get it. Plus, you have retirees who are worth millions of dollars and have lots of money invested but only take Social Security, so their income is lower. All right, and maybe they earned a little bit of money on the side and they qualify. So I would tell people who get this money, look, if you don't need it, I'm serious. I've been telling everyone I know, You go down to that little mom and pop shop if they even have their door open. You go to other places and you say, how can I help? Do you have an employee who needs help? Do what you can. If you are getting a check and you don't need it, I guarantee there are people who are receiving checks that need more and some others who fell between the cracks.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of us behind the scenes are trying to do stuff for the folks that we know. I know there's some organization even behind some of my musician friends, and I think there's going to be a desire from those who can help to help. But it's difficult to even execute that because of all the restrictions. And there's even a story, and I'm sure we're covering it in our newsroom too, some of the restaurants that were moving forward, for example, with some carryout service and takeout. I went to Rosalita's in De Pere last night. They're still open. But some of the other restaurants that were trying to do this have already pulled back on that. So even the limited amount of employees that maybe were still working and trying to get some tips might not even have that anymore. Dave Simons, I appreciate it. We'll see a little positive news at the stock market, though. That's at least a good reaction. So we'll take what we can get right now, right?
Absolutely. Two in a row. We'll take it.
Thank you, Dave. We're going to go to WCBS in New York City next to find out how Manhattan is coping. And it is really a bad situation in New York, in Manhattan in particular.
One of baseball's greatest comebacks returns tonight.
They came from nowhere to astound the baseball world.
Pujols and the Cards face the Pirates. Hamlin pregame show 6:15 on the home of the 2011 World Series champion St. Louis Cardinals. KMOX.
Hey, Chris Raby is here with us during Total Information PM. However, we do have and I said earlier in the show, a little fake news because I did not hear of any coronavirus task force news conference because they had not announced one. But there is one now announced for 4 o'clock this afternoon. We'll join that live. We'll stick with it for a little bit, especially if Dr. Fauci is up there on the podium. We are joined this afternoon. I've been watching Andrew Cuomo's news conferences every day, New York City. Obviously, ground zero for a lot of this in this country. Peter Haskell at WCBS Radio in New York City, a sister station of KMOX in the Intercom family. Peter, how are you? I'm working for the first day in my home studio here because we got booted from the station. Only the producers are left. I don't know what the situation is for you guys, but how are you this afternoon?
Yeah, I'm doing fine, thank you. Similar to what you're doing, a number of our typically inside people are working outside. I'm a reporter. I'm rarely at the radio station, but frankly, I'm now out on the street far less than I'd like to be, and I'm spending a lot more time working out of home, which is, for me, not my ideal, but under the circumstances, it seems the smart thing to do.
You know, I go to New York City occasionally. I was there last summer, well, I guess the summer before, but, you know, we're all used to seeing the bustling streets of New York. In a sad way, I'm going to say something here, not to offend or make us feel bad in St. Louis. The downtown St. Louis area is not quite as bustling. And so it's not as noticeable for us, in other words, when I drive into downtown, that people aren't working. I mean, clearly you can see less traffic, but the scenes of these big cities, London and Rome and Manhattan, with nobody on the streets is just bizarre and surreal. So from your reaction and from the folks that you're talking to, I'm guessing a lot of people are abiding by the restrictions. What is the overall reaction?
A couple of things. First of all, because it is New York and it's so dense and there are so many people, you typically do see people out on the street. You do not see them in the numbers that we're accustomed to. And there's no question people are staying inside. They're going out less frequently. They're going to the store. A lot of people are keeping their kids inside. But, you will see some at the playground. I've got kids who go to the playground, so I'm there. It is a much different world. You've got the rumble, the rattle, the cacophony that you usually have in the streets. And now it's kind of a subtle hum. So it is very, very different. And while it might not be deserted, I walked outside the other night, and it really was so unusually quiet. No cabs, no buses, no trucks. Just very, very eerie in some ways.
You know, in another difference between, we have some cases here in Missouri, we've had a death in the city of St. Louis even, but obviously because of the density issues, I don't sense there's a lot of people here in my listening area, unless they know people directly or they're aware of contact, who are really seriously in jeopardy or afraid of getting the coronavirus. That's a different situation in New York. We're seeing, and I saw a figure of 60% of the people that have caused infections in the rest of the country came from New York. We know that this was imported from China and from Europe. We've seen cases all over the world in South America from Europe in particular. But New York City is, just because of the very nature that Manhattan is set up, is going to be responsible for, and I want to say tag you as responsible, but clearly a lot of this is coming from Manhattan. So there has to be a real fear that is beyond the economic fear of getting this disease in Manhattan.
Well, I think, look, people are concerned about their health, some more than others. I mean, we know the numbers. 80% of the people who get this will not have serious symptoms, will not have to worry about losing their life. With that said, nobody wants to get any kind of virus if they can avoid it. So fear is kind of hard to define. I'll tell you about the people that I know. You know, they are trying to limit their exposure in stores. People are not anxious to take the subways or buses, even if they normally would. A walk outside does not feel particularly threatening to me, but others are much more concerned about going outside. And so there are always various points along the spectrum. On one end, you know, 3 weeks ago, I knew people who were stocking up on food. 3 weeks ago might have been 5 years ago because so much has changed. And at the time, I thought, wow, this is kind of crazy. But every day, I'll tell you, a couple of weeks ago, it seemed every day there was this high-speed, whiplash-inducing changes that got everybody's attention. And since then, look, everybody's different. Some people are really concerned, and some people are probably going out and doing things they shouldn't.
Well, what's Central Park like? I think I've seen a little video or some pictures, but there was concern in other parts of the country and certainly in other parts of the world about too many people still gathering in one space. And I did see, I think I saw Governor Cuomo talking a little bit about the crowds in New York still gathering in too much, you know, too many people in one spot.
That is true. He did talk about that. He is concerned about playgrounds, talking about people playing basketball. He's mentioned basketball specifically on a number of occasions over the past week. Soccer games, you don't want to see. All the permits for the parks were pulled, so there's no organized soccer or baseball. I will tell you, I was in Central Park the other day taking a walk. What I saw was plenty of people around, most of them really intentionally trying to walk at a distance from others that they didn't know. So I was with my family. We walked together. We would see couples walking together, but we kind of gave each other our space. My family stayed away from another family. So people are out because you can't coop yourself up. It's not good physically. It's not good mentally. People were out, but I did not see in the parks the kinds of games the governor was talking about, and I'm sure they're happening out there in other places. But my observation was people were trying to take this distancing thing seriously.
Well, and then you have the effect psychologically and economically. Look, some of the richest people probably in the world live in Manhattan, but the gig economy probably is bigger than most places on the planet as well. And you have restaurant workers and bartenders and even some of the crew members that work with shows on Broadway that just simply won't be able to work for a long time.
That's the scary part, without a doubt. There are so many people who are so dependent on jobs that today are not operating. And you mentioned quite a few of them. If you think about restaurants in New York City, I mean, there are, by one estimate, I saw 250,000 people who work in the restaurant business. And so you think about the restaurants, the shows, the way they would spend their money. They're not. You think about people who worked at hotels. New York has a huge hospitality business. They're out of business. The people who work at the airports, they're, for the most part, out of business. The people who owned all kinds of stores, big stores, mom-and-pop stores, chain stores, Starbucks is closed. And so some of the Dunkin' Donuts are closed. Some of them are open.
How about the Uber drivers? I mean, just whatever cab drivers were left in the Uber drivers.
Cab drivers, Ubers, you're right. There are cabs, there are Ubers, there are Lyfts. You see some of those vehicles out, but not nearly in the numbers we've seen before. And the ripples through the New York City ecosystem is huge. And you have to wonder how long is it going to take before it comes back? Because think about it. If you get your job back and you get money, are you flying to New York on vacation? Are you buying an airplane ticket? Are you making a hotel reservation?
Not for a while. Are you right?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so this kind of ripple effect is going to linger for months, even once we get back to what we used to call normal.
It's going to be a while. Let me end on this. I'm asking a lot of the guests, Peter, because we're all dealing with some of the same things to a certain extent. You binging anything fun that you would recommend at this point? I'm looking forward. You know, we have this show that is based here in Missouri called Ozark, which is on Netflix, and the third season premieres on Friday night. What's Peter Haskell watching, if anything?
You know, I've got a nasty confession to make, and that is I haven't been, and what, you know, everybody tells me, my friends are like, oh, did you watch this? Did you watch that? My wife is watching something, but it's, you know, I'm in the news business.
I know. Hey, I got geeky news guys in our newsroom, too. There's nothing wrong with that. I unfortunately rely on too much television and movies in my entertainment.
And I wish I did, but I finished working and I eat dinner and then I'm like, let me see what I missed. And then I'm watching the news again. So
yeah.
It's sad, I'll confess, but that's what I'm doing.
Hey, you're a news junkie. We need you. Peter, thanks for joining me this afternoon. Good luck, man. We're thinking about you in St. Louis for sure, watching the numbers explode in New York City. Peter Haskell, WCBS Radio in Manhattan. I appreciate it, Peter.
Thank you.
We'll get you updated on traffic here in the St. Louis area, which has been relatively light considering the situation. I have an audio cut of the day, and we do have a briefing coming up at the top of the hour. They're never on time, though, from the Coronavirus Task Force in Washington.
You're listening to The Mark Reardon Show.
When you're out of my sight, you must constantly Twitter me exactly what you're up to.
Follow Mark on Twitter at Mark Reardon, KMOX. Okay, for
inspiration. It's a brand new song from Jackson Browne that was not going to be released right now. It's called A Little Too Soon to Stay. Jackson Browne realized that the words, the lyrics sort of fit our current crisis, so he let that out today. I haven't seen it. I use Tidal as my music service. I looked for it on there. It wasn't up yet, but I did find it online. Bruce Springsteen did a PSA.
These are uncertain times. What is for certain is the pain, the fear, and the real needs of many of our neighbors, our friends, and certainly all of those who are on the front lines of this pandemic. We are practicing social distancing. We are staying at home.
And Dave Matthews of the Dave Matthews Band was on with, I think it was Fallon last night, or was it Kimmel, Dave Klein? It was with Jimmy Kimmel last night, did a little music as well. In the bathroom, you can hear the great acoustics here.
Hello to everyone from atop this toilet bowl.
Many's the time I've been mistaken.
I think a lot of musicians would tell you that the bathroom does have, and the shower in particular, has really good acoustics. Let's do audio cut of the day.
Playback ready. Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, this is an NBA player, Carl Anthony Towns. He plays for the Minnesota Timberwolves, and his mother is in the ICU, Jacqueline Cruz. And here is Carl Anthony Towns' message on the coronavirus.
Just something to update you on my life. You know, I think it's important that everyone understands the severity of what's happening in the world right now with this coronavirus. And I think where my life is right now could help. So I decided to do this video and, you know, just give you an update of where I'm at. So I was I was told early last week my parents weren't feeling well, and after a couple of days of not getting and showing any signs of improvement, I was very adamant on the first day to go to the hospital and seek further evaluation. Specifically, me and my sister, I told her she needs to get checked for corona. I talked to her before she went there, told her I loved her. Every day I always told her how much I love her. She was telling me things that I didn't want to hear, so I dismissed some things she was saying because it wasn't something I want to hear. You know, it's difficult. It's been very difficult for me and my family, to say the least. She's the head of our household. She's the boss. She's been in a medically induced coma. Since that day, I haven't talked to her. I haven't been able to obviously communicate with her. I've just been getting updates on her condition. To only make this video so that people understand that the severity of this disease is real. This disease needs to not be taken lightly. Please protect your families, your loved ones, your friends, yourself. I hope my story helps. I hope my story gives you the correct information. My mother, the strongest woman I know, and I know she'll beat this.
Tough message from Carl Towns. That's your audio cut of the day on KMOX.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.